Namo Bhagavate Atmanam himself Kanyaya
by Kala Kanya
Grastam
being embraced
Panchalan Panchala Aridushitan infected by the enemies. Duranta, insurmountable. Chintam, anxiety. Apanaha, having obtained. Na, not. Lebe, achieved. Tat, of that. Patikriyam, counteraction. Translation. When King Paranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kalakanya. So you can repeat. When King Paranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kala Kanya. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. When a person becomes weak from the attack of old age, the family members, servants, and secretaries do not care for him. He is then unable to counteract this. Thus he becomes more and more anxious and laments his frightful condition. So this is a short purport, so we're going to read the next text then. It's purport. Text 9. Kamanavila shantinohu yata yamam shakanjaya vigatadma gati sneha putra dharamscha lalaikan. The objects of enjoyment became stale by the influence of Kalakanya. Due to the continuance of his lusty desires, King Paranjana became very poor in everything. Thus he did not understand the aim of life. He was still very affectionate toward his wife and children, and he worried about maintaining them. So Srila Prabhupada explains this is exactly the position of present civilization. Everyone is engaged in maintaining the body, home, and family. Consequently, everyone becomes confused at the end of life, not knowing what spiritual life and the goal of human life are. In a civilization of sense gratification, there cannot be spiritual life because a person thinks only of this life. Although the next life is a fact, no information is given about it. So, Om Ganat Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Meritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, from the descriptions here of the story of King Paranjana, we can understand that King Paranjana more or less led a very blessed life. In other words, not too many problems until old age came. You know, reading the previous chapter, it doesn't appear that, you know, his wife argued with him too much. He had so many chronic diseases, or he was in poverty. It just appears that everything was just going just right for him. Isn't it? I mean, look at that. Everything's just like, what is that? Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day. I got a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful day. Anyone's heard of that poem before? Anyway. It came as a rather shock to him, and he wasn't prepared for the time of death because everything was going so well. So what does it mean? This is something like in the heavenly planets, where everything is going so well there. There's no disease in the heavenly planets. There's no old age in the heavenly planets, no wrinkles. Just like yesterday, it was, you know, sometimes you open up your email, and then there was this advertisement for this new wrinkle cream. It says, you know, it says when people get this wrinkled cream, they will no longer be interested in Botox. The Botox doctors are very angry at us for producing this. You know Botox? You know what Botox is? Botox is a poison, basically toxin, botulin toxin. That's what it's a, anyway, it's a combination of two words. You should always ask when you hear a word, what is the origin of that word? Just like in the kitchen, you use canola oil, so the origin of that is Canada oil, genetically modified Canada oil. You understand? So you think it's canola. Oh, it's a plant. It's not a plant. It's the rapeseed that they used for insecticide to kill living entities during the wartime. So anyway, getting back to Botox. So it's a, you know, new. You know, it's very, you don't have to use Botox anymore. You're just putting it in. I had a before and after picture of this lady, you know. And before picture is just like, ooh, it was just like a prune. And then the after picture was like a plum. You understand? Prune, plum. A prune is a wrinkled plum. It's right up plum. And so, you know, I was looking at, and you don't, I have to say, I was a little tempted to order the product. So, because, you know, we're seeing signs already of old age. Of course, not already. You know, we look in the mirror in the wall, you know, who's the sannyasi who's aging like this. So therefore, we're getting warning. But in the heavenly planets, you don't get any warning. It's just like you're going on, you know, you have the heavenly damsels dancing, ching, ching, like that. And then all of a sudden your garland fades and you're heading back, you know, Chine Punya Marcha Lokam Bishanti, heading back to the earth planet to have another stay in the earth planet. So it's not so conducive to spiritual realization to be in the heavenly planets because you become bewildered by the opulence. Janmai Shvarya Shudasha Shibir. Edamana Adapumana. And this is described by Queen Kunti. There's different opulences like good birth, beauty, learning, money, all these things like that. These are bewildering. And also the Bhagavad Gita says, what is it? Bogai Shvarya Prasaktanam. Some of you may know this verse, second chapter. It says, to those who are just immersed and attached, prashakta means to be really attached. Prashaktahanam, those who are. Bhogaishvarya, to sense gratification and opulence, life. Prashaktanam, taya, pratichetasam, their mind cannot really be fixed. Vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha vyavasay samadho navatiyate. They cannot be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Their intelligence, as is many branch. Of course, there's another verse that's also in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Vyavasayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurana bahushakta sunantascha. That those who are Krishna conscious are very focused. Their intelligence is one. Ekeha kurunandana. But those who are not, their intelligence is... In other words, their mind is wandering all over, accepting, rejecting things based on the principle of what is enjoyable. So therefore, it's better to be in a situation where there's difficulty. It's much better. In fact, I was just quoting from Queen Kunti before, you know, that... She was saying the people in this world are very attached to this opulence and sense gratification, janmai shvarya, having a good birth and beauty, And so she's praying that Krishna would put her in difficulty, Tatra Tatra Jagatguru, so that she would overcome these attachments. So as Prabhupada said, that an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go very well together. Just like the other day, I got a letter from one of my disciples in India, and she's a great devotee of Lord Ram, and then anyway, she had some problems in her life. And she said, "Why is Lord Ram doing this to me? I prayed to him for, I'm not going to tell you what it was for, but anyway, it was something dharmic. It wasn't adharmic. It wasn't that she was praying for a lot of money or anything like that, but just praying for some dharmic situation. She said, I prayed for him, and then how can he do this to me? And, I don't have the courage to tell her that this is actually Lord Ram's mercy." it takes a lot of courage to tell someone, because they won't respond very well. They won't. If you say, this is actually Yashaha Managrinami Hari Sheta Danam Shanai, as it was one of Prabhupada's favorite verses, isn't it? That Yashaham Anugrinami, to those people, Anugrinami, that I really favor, that I take away everything from them. So they can come to the point of just like, Kinshana Gotra, that's also from Queen Kunti. They come to the point of just like, Krishna, take me away. I'm your surrendered servant. Instead of Krishna giving them all these things that will cause their further bewilderment, Krishna says, I'm not going to give people things. They're going to cause their further entanglement in this world. I'm going to arrange things. That's the purpose of life, so they can become detached. So, King Paranjana here didn't have things arranged. Somehow or other, he didn't have the mercy of Krishna. Krishna wasn't taking everything away until the end. And then at the end, guess what? It's too late. You can't really turn to Krishna. You could, in exceptional situations, but generally, Prabhupada said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Because when the mind is very attached, your whole life, you're just like cultivating this attachment, and you're thinking, the family is, what is that called? Fallible soldiers. Pashanapi, Napashati. One thinks he sees, but he doesn't see. This is a description from the Bhagavatam also. We think we have these fallible soldiers. Fallible soldiers means the family members and stuff like that. It's an interesting verse from the Bhagavatam like that. That Nunam Pramata Nunam. Anyway, so that one is living his whole life thinking this is it, being surrounded by these fallible soldiers, and therefore they're not making plans for the time of death. I was watching a movie yesterday about George Harrison that I mentioned before. It's a long movie. It's a little boring. It's a 4-hour movie. It's not even that exciting. But anyway, I was recommended, so I watched it. And so in this movie, it shows that John Lennon was killed. You heard of John Lennon before? He was killed in New York. He was shot or whatever. And it's interesting that George Harrison was actually a devotee, was lamenting that he didn't have time to prepare for death and didn't die the right way. And so, and that was the case. You contrast John Lennon with George Harrison. George Harrison actually prepared for death, and Krishna arranged the situation for him. I'm not saying he was an absolutely pure devotee. He did a lot of service for Srila Prabhupada and the Krishna conscious movement by his songs, especially My Sweet Lord and other songs like that where he added the chanting of Hare Krishna. Actually, he said something very interesting. He said that in his news conference, he says, whenever I chant Hare Krishna, I just go through my mind and can't stop. And he had one time they were chanting Hare Krishna for 3 days without stopping in a boat going through the Adriatic Sea or some sea in Europe. So the point is that preparing for death, but unless you actually understand the purpose of life, unless you understand the miseries of life, you're not going to be able to do that just at the time of death. So therefore, we welcome the difficulties that Krishna is sending to us to remind us of the purpose of human life. And, of course, we shouldn't As Prabhupada said, we shouldn't pray for more difficulties. There are already enough difficulties. I would never pray for more difficulties. But you know, there are already enough difficulties. And these are reminding us, and we should take them as Krishna's messages, kindness, his message. You know, Krishna's being kind. We may not understand exactly why Krishna's doing some specific thing at a particular time, but in retrospect, we can see that. And not only difficulties of the body, you know, there's the three types of difficulties, but difficulties from other living entities, difficulties from the material energy, and difficulties from our own mind and body, the adhyatmic, adibodhic, and adidaivic miseries. And so we should welcome them. I remember one time, you know, recently about, what was it, about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, something like that, there were some miseries from other living entities. They started turning against me for some reason, anyway. It's not really that important. So my first response was that I'm innocent and I don't deserve this. Why am I getting something I don't deserve? Sometimes you hear this too, you know, everybody else, you know, they're getting away, or yeah, just like the person who wrote to me from India, they said, you know, everybody else, all my friends are well situated. I'll tell you what it was, in household life, they all have nice husbands and everything like that. And I'm already 29. You know, because in India, when you're 29, you're over the hill. In America, when you're 45, you're just starting. Isn't it? I mean, it's just like, just getting your second wind, as they say. But at least in India, you know, 29, you know, the girls had to be married by their, when they're very young. So everybody else is married, not me, and that means I have no friends. I can't go over anyone's house. Why is Sri Ram doing this to me? You know, Lord Ram. And so that's usually our initial response to something, that that it's unfair. But guess what? Life is not meant to be fair in a material sense. You know, we all have this concept of fairness and justice. Of course, it's interesting. The study of justice is called theodicy, the justice of God. Theos, to see. And that's one thing that theologians talk about a lot, you know, the justice of God. And so because they perceive injustices, what they see with their external vision, they lose faith in God. They say, look at all this injustice. You know, the typical thing is bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, like that. So that's called, theodicy means the study of the justice of God. So usually we get into this theodicy type consciousness when something happens to us, you know. This is not fair. You know, look at this devotee. This devotee has better health than me. This devotee's getting away with murder, and I never did anything wrong, you know. Unfair. You know, it's like we're ready to go picket the temple. You know, picket. You know, like they have this Occupy Wall Street thing. You heard of this? Occupy Wall Street? Where, and it's not only Wall Street, practically every major city in America, you know, the young people are sitting down there and the police can't remove them. It reminds me of the 1960s when the hippies would, you know, have their love-ins. And one of the main purposes of the love-ins was so they could associate with the opposite sex in the name of politics. So I wonder if the same thing is going on now. So, and I won't investigate. So they're protesting, yeah, they're protesting because this is unfair. Look at these rich people. These rich people, they're making the big salaries, and here we are. We want a share of the pie, so to speak. We want a bigger share of the pie. In other words, it's a little envious. So we want to do the same thing. We want to do the same thing with Krishna sometimes. Have a occupy the temple movement. You know, just occupy in front of the temple, and they'll protest. And we actually see that some atheists actually do that. They write so many books and protest against God. You know, they're really dedicated to atheism. And not as You know, I'm not as dedicated to Krishna consciousness as they are to atheism. I just wish I had the same dedication, devotion, and emotional attachment, you know, and determination, isn't it? You know, so many books they write about these things. So anyway, that's the initial response that I have, and I think many of us have. You know, it's unfair. But then what we need to do when something like that happens is just like start chanting so Krishna will give us some intelligence. You know, instead of chanting, the usual response I hear people is, I can't chant anymore. You know, I'm not going to chant, or I can't focus my mind. But then that's when you need to chant. So then you chant, and then Krishna gives you intelligence that first of all, tate nukampam sushumikshamana vujanavatma kritam vipakam. This is probably due as a token reaction for something I did in the past. But the point is, vidvadva purvir vadadam namaste. I have to go on serving Krishna in spite of this. And then Krishna's doing it to help me understand the nature of this world. Because I was taking shelter of mundane society, friendship, and love. You know, it's an awakening. Just like, well, let's say the story of Lord Buddha. Of course, he wasn't put in so much difficulty. He voluntarily embraced difficulty. But he was woken up when he saw the reality of this world. So even as devotees, we forget about the reality of this world often. You know, we're going on with our nice little life in the ashram. And, you know, 3 square prasadam meals a day or whatever. Isn't it? And everything, you know, everything's nice. You know, nice central heating here. It gets a little chilly. Ooh, it's too much. too much. Isn't it? We're like the princess and the pea. You know, she piled up the mattresses. There was one pea under all the mattresses, and it was just... It was just too much for the poor lady. She was sore. She had black and blue marks all over her body. So anyway, we should welcome these things and use them as an impetus to become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is so kind, he's waking us up to the reality. Instead of having us wait till the end of life, like poor Paranjana here. You understand? The end of life, you know, he figures it out that his wife really doesn't love him. It's mentioned in the previous verse. It says, everyone turned against him. Relatives, followers, servants, secretaries. They turned against him. But he still wanted, in the next verse it says he was still interested in maintaining them, which is stupid. He worried about maintaining them. I mean, me, if everyone turned against me, I said, the hell, you maintain yourselves. Isn't it? But, you know, that's how his attachment was. They actually showed themselves to be exploiting him. You're not giving us the sense gratification he used to, dear Dad Paranjan. And so, you know, we'll put you in an old people's home, you know, warehouse you. We'll see you once a year. Or sometimes like they do in Vrindavan, they take the widows and they send them to Vrindavan. You understand what that, you've seen that? They send these older ladies to Vrindavan because they don't want to see them anymore. In other words, they don't want them. In the verse before that, it says his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. I mean, that's very traumatic. Previously, your wife was saying to you, I love you, you're everything to me, sweetie pie, or whatever they say. And then she doesn't love you anymore. That's so painful, isn't it? When someone is declaring their love and allegiance and loyalty, and they don't do it anymore. So anyway, poor Paranjana, he was, because he had never thought of anything else his whole life, basically. When things started to turn against me, he was still thinking of maintaining them. Pretty interesting, because that's in that verse. He was worried, not just thinking, he was in anxiety. I know, Lala Yan, means he was affectionately thinking of maintaining them. Not just like, it's my duty to maintain them, but, oh, I love them. Even though they were showing... So the point is that don't wait till the time of death, or else you'll be an illusion like that too. So now is the time... Now is the time to develop a spirit of attachment to Krishna and detachment from the society, friendship, and love. These fallible soldiers. So, any questions or comments about these things? So, Paranjan is a very interesting example. Yeah.
Why does Krishna choose to manifest his pastime on earth? As Lord Ramchandra.
As Lord Ramchandra?
Both Krishna.
Krishna and Lord Ramchandra? You'll have to ask him that question. But, you know, that earth is very special because we have the pastimes that the Lord manifested. Of course, there's pastimes the Lord manifested in other planets too, but not Krishna and not Lord Chaitanya, and certainly not Lord Ramchandra. The pastime Nrisingadeva was pastimes of Lord Nrisingadeva were executed on different planets. So this is not the only planet where Krishna manifests his pastimes. Well, the Earth planet is a very special planet because it's mixed miseries and happiness, not like the heavenly planets. In the heavenly planets, it's all happiness. So in the Earth planet, we're getting a message, but we also have enough a message about the realities of life. Continually we're getting a message. But we also, it's not so miserable that we can't function. Whereas in the hellish planets, it's like that. So it's an ideal situation to surrender to Krishna, this earthly planet. So that may be a reason. I don't know Krishna's psychology, why he picked the earth planet. But the earth planet at least has on it Vrindavan, Braj, which is a replica of the Braj in the spiritual world, which is a manifestation of Braj. It's like a embassy of the spiritual world. So we were fortunate enough to take birth on the earth planet during the time of Lord Chaitanya's movement, which is right now. This is Prabhupada's propagating Lord Chaitanya's movement, so that's a great fortune. So we should take advantage of that. It's much better to be here on this planet than anywhere else in the universe at this time. We're very fortunate. So your question?
Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur stressed that for one who wants to make progress in spiritual life, one needs to fulfill those basic needs.
Yes.
How important is this when one is seeking Krishna? And the other side is what you just explained now, that many times Krishna will arrange certain situations which may be very difficult and in which definitely aspiring devotee does not get, you know, their needs fulfilled. So this seems to be so contradictory.
Well, first of all, there's a difference between needs and desires. Desires are actually, I mean, for example, let's give the example of some lady who really, like, she can't find a husband. And she thinks, I need a husband. But it's actually a desire to fulfill the need for, you know, like we went over the other day where people get married or something like that. Well, the need for friendship, for appreciation, for maintenance and love. And so that need can be fulfilled in relation with Krishna. If Krishna doesn't send a husband, sometimes Krishna doesn't. I hate to disappoint all you ladies. Sometimes Krishna doesn't send a husband. And sometimes Krishna doesn't send a wife. And sometimes Krishna sends a hellish husband. And sometimes Krishna sends a hellish wife. So basically, those needs, nichyone, the point is, nichyo nichyanam chaitanam chaitananam eko bhavanam yavadadati. Come on, Krishna is providing our necessities. It's just that our strategies, we may not have the right strategies. In other words, the necessities are there. Like, you know, someone may say, what is that song? Do you need someone to love? Do you want someone to love? Anyway, whatever. I don't remember the song. So there's Krishna there. He's the most lovable. And when you When you go to hear or see Krishna, who is standing on the bank of the Keshi God playing his flute, you'll lose all desire to enjoy the mundane society, friendship, and love, because it fulfills that need. You know, Krishna's taking care of me. Krishna's maintaining me. That's what the two surrendering principles Lord Chaitanya gives us. There's six of them, of course. There's to accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable, to understand that Krishna's always maintaining you, to understand that Krishna's always protecting you, to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord, and then the final one is the most difficult. What's that? To be meek and humble. So these are the six surrendering principles given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the two of them are to understand the Lord is maintaining you and protecting you. So it's not, I mean, what can some man do to protect you? Or some woman, you know, the fallible soldiers, isn't it? You're thinking that's my protection. But first of all, they may die, they may turn against you, they may run away with another woman or whatever it is. And then it'll be worse than having no protection, because your heart will be broken too. But Krishna, he won't run away. Of course, he may run away with another woman, but that's... Krishna's a debauchee. But he'll always be with you. Even if he runs away with another woman, it's all right. He's a debauchee. But he's always maintaining all the living entities. What does Jesus Christ say? You know, aren't the lilies in the field clothed, right? Was that statement in the Bible? I forget the exact wording. Clothed in all the splendor, arrayed in all the splendor, or something like that. You know, Krishna's taking care of the lilies in the field, the little cockroaches in the temple. He's giving them prasadam, so everybody's being taken care of. But that's part of surrender to Krishna. Understand that Krishna is providing all the necessities. And we do need to make some endeavor for our needs, but we have to identify what our basic needs are and to understand the Krishna conscious way or strategy of fulfilling those basic needs. And Krishna may want us to take a different strategy than we have in mind too. That's life. I mean, it's just part of life. We can't always have what we want, right? Fortunately. Depending on your perspective, of course. Depending on the material perspective, it's unfortunate, you know, that God's not our order supplier. Except for my mother, who gets her parking spaces from Krishna. I would never dream of that. You know, you in New York driving, you just say, Krishna, I need a parking space. Please, my dear Lord, if you so desire, give me a parking space. You open your eyes and it opens up right in front of you. But that's all right. She needs that. It increases her faith in Krishna. But if I prayed like that, Krishna would make sure I didn't get a parking space for about 2 days. Because Krishna said, what are you trying to do, make me your servant? I'm not a parking lot attendant. We are Krishna's servant. And that's really satisfying. Yatma supersedite. We're talking about satisfying. Savaipum samparal dharma yato bhakti ad hoksajay. Ahoituki pratita yatma supersedite. If you want to really be satisfied, the Bhagavatam says, Ahoituki pratita, unmotivated, causeless devotional service, undeterred devotional service. And that satisfies. That satisfies the heart. And that gives us. Or satisfies all of our needs. That's my experience.